Mercy rule. Mercy rule. We don't want to hear anything about a mercy rule in baseball. Did you see what the Astros did to the Twins today? 14 runs on 20 hits. Mercy rule. No, we're not doing that in baseball. And we're going to talk about that and how the Astros didn't look very good on Saturday. And we'll talk about that and more on today's Locked On Astros podcast.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Astros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Astros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, taking the win out of Twins, always Stros.
All right, I'm sure all the Minnesota Twins fans are like waving to Astros as they're leaving the city. Get out of here. Go away. We don't want to see you anymore. Because the Astros really embarrassed them today. And it was one of those games that even Chandler Rome was like, this was a massacre. And this is after the Astros looked like they were in Saturday's game. I know it wasn't as bad as Sunday's game, but it just looked like the Astros had no clue what was going on. But Sunday's game was, it's amazing how one game can go from flip back and forth. And we'll talk about that and more on today's podcast. And guys, we had a locker room this weekend, and our friend Soli from the Locked On MLB podcast joined, and we were talking about the potential six-man rotation that Dusty Baker talked about over the weekend, and we did put that up as audio, so if you want to go listen to that, Sully is a very good encyclopedia, and he has all this knowledge, and he was talking about Catfish Hunter, and go listen to that, and go subscribe to Locked On MLB podcast, and if you want to listen to other teams besides just the Astros, and go subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. But I want to focus a lot about the Houston Astros today because they kicked some Twins butt. And I think that this was one of those games that we're going to be talking about for a long time. 20 hits. This was a season high. This was something that they haven't done in a while. I believe they've only done this like, what, five times in franchise history. And surprisingly, they lost one of those games I saw. Yeah. And so this was one of those not once in lifetimes, but this is, you don't see this often. And Miles Straw had two hits. Kyle Tucker had three hits. Carlos Correa had three hits. Then you had Chaz McCormick. This guy is just unbelievable. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but what he's done in limited playing time, it's just people write songs about Chaz McCormick someday.
Wow, man, you have put him on a pedestal. Now, you know, deservedly so. You've got the hit machine, Michael Brantley, who makes hitting. And I forget who said it on Twitter. I would give them credit, but they make it look like they're playing a softball game, a slow pitch softball game. He hits everything, literally everything. He was 4-for-4 the game before. He was 4-for-5 tonight. And Yuli Gurriel was 0-for tonight, but you know what,
Garcia is batting .688 over the last four games.
Yeah. So, but get this, Robel Garcia comes in to pinch hit, or basically comes in to, you know, to play first for Yuli, hits a home run. I mean, this was one of those games that you love to watch as an Astros fan. And here's the thing, when the Astros visit Minnesota and they visit Target Field, it is an absolute bandbox to them. They crush the crap out of the ball. When they come to Minnesota, they have a great history here. We had a great history, you know, just in recent memory. Anytime we travel there, we hit really well. We play really well. And those were teams that had George Springer. And, you know, this team has not missed George Springer offensively. We have one of the highest powered offenses. Kyle Tucker's production is just unbelievable. He's already up to .268, Eric. We could be talking about a 300 hitting Kyle Tucker within the next few weeks if he continues his tear through the major leagues. And like you talked about, the bottom of the order, look at this, 2-for-3, 2-for-5, Garrett Stubbs, 2-for-3, Miles Straw. Your 8 and 9 guys are 4-for-8, hitting .500. When your 8 and 9 hitters are getting on base, playing small ball, bunting, getting singles, getting doubles, doing what you've got to do to contribute to this team is a massive, massive piece of the success of this team. And we'll talk about it, but Framber Valdez, I feel like whenever he gets on the mound, he can win. I mean, put him right now against anybody in the game, Framber's going to get the win. Phenomenal stuff to see him out there dealing the way he is.
Yeah, I saw this graphic on AT&T Sportsnet earlier, and I took a picture of it. But compared to the 2018, 2019, and 2021 Astros, the 2018 batted through 64 games. They batted 258, 271, 270 at the 2021 team. The OPS, the 2019 Astros had a better OPS to this point. They batted 824, but the 2021 Astros have 779 OPS. The 2021 Astros have 78 home runs. The 2019 Astros have 103 home runs. So they're not the exact same type of team they were back then. They don't have like George Springer hitting home runs left and right. They're missing some of the power. But as we saw today, they can hit home runs in bunches. We saw Alvarez. We saw Chaz McCormick hit a home run. They can hit homers. They're just not – they're doing it other ways. They're hitting those doubles. They're hitting those singles. They're pounding out 20 hits. So this offense is one of the best in baseball. And
it is.
They're not – they don't have the 91 home runs, the 88 home runs like the Reds do, like the Rays – like the Blue Jays do, but they do it other ways.
Because like Johnny said, the reason why I put his comment up here, it says, I believe Bregman only had one hit the entire series. We did this with Bregman struggling. And this is a key point that I would like to make with this offense. So hitting is contagious, right? But when this offense is this high octane, it takes the pressure off a little bit. Now, Bregman is the guy that's going to grind, and on his off day, he's going to be in the cage. He's going to be working on his swing. He's going to come out firing, waiting to hit the cover off the ball against the Rangers when they come to Minute Maid Park. But when Bregman struggles, but everybody else is hitting, it takes the pressure off that guy because everybody else is doing their job. And this team, unlike any other team I've ever watched in my lifetime, roots for the other guys so much. World Traveler says that Carlos Correa mentioned, I have a good feeling about this team. Everybody is on the same page. The vibe in the clubhouse reminds me of 17 and 19. Man, I really love this team. And, you know, say what you will, and I have been one of the number one critics of Dusty Baker, but I did take to heart what Sully said when he talked to us on Locker Room about Dusty Baker being the perfect person to be run this clubhouse and to manage this team, Eric. Right. And Clay Hensley has talked to us, a regular guest on our show, a World Series champion. He said Dusty is a player's manager. And these players, apparently, they buy into it. We as fans or we as commentators may not like or trust or believe in what he's doing. But if the players do, who are we to say anything? I mean, right now, I think I'm going to hold back on my Dusty criticism because – Maybe I don't have it all figured out like I thought for many years.
Yeah, speaking of that, as World Traveler kind of mentioned, we are getting close to 500. We are up to 400 subscribers on YouTube.
415.
415? Okay, so 415. So guys, get us to 500. Then from there, we can go on to 1,000. I know we have a lot of people who are helping us get out there, so... guys, just retweet whenever we post the YouTube videos out there. Just retweet this and help us get this out there. And thank you for all the people who are loyal. Don't miss a one of our live streams or anything like that. But help us get this out there. We do this every day. And yes, it takes some time to plan this and take some time to edit and get this going. So speaking of having a wealth of knowledge, let's talk a little bit about Wealthfront.
Yeah, Wealthfront, you know, you hear terms like stonks, memes, rocket ships, day trading. You may think I'm talking about Elon Musk and another rocket going to space. What I'm talking about is long-term wealth and how you can grow that and make it to the moon. Heck, make it to Mars with Wealthfront. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year, kind of like the twins in the playoffs. The fact is only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor. Like Trevor Bauer betting that, hey, they won't pick up on my spider tack, but they have. He obviously doesn't have Wealthfront. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on your preferences that you want, that you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower your taxes that you pay and you invest. Listen to this. The average client, basically their average tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low 0.25% advisory fee. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion, that's right, of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free from Wealthfront. You go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB, and that's not just one time, that's like for life. So your first $5,000 managed for life, and all you need is $500 to get started, grow your wealth the easy way. Go to wealthfront.com, that's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today.
All right. I want to start this next segment with something I'm really proud of. I came up with this new thing for our new segment called Clickbait. And so let's go and get this started. All right. So I need to figure out how to get some sound there. But anyway, James Click.
Clickbait. Sorry. Something like
that. But on James Click said on Sports Talk 790, we have an embarrassment of riches right now, but we can go from having 6 starters to 3 starters overnight. It's something we are very cognizant of. You can't say enough about what Luis Garcia has done. We knew how talented he was. So now he said, also asked whether the CBT would impact the Astros' activity at the trade deadline. He said it is a factor, but it's not a hard cap. So that means that if he needs a reliever at the trade deadline, he's going to go out and get that reliever.
They did trade Quintana from the Skeeters to the Marlins for some money. So it was basically for money, so cash. The Marlins have a bunch of cash. Maybe they're trying to fill the coffers, Eric. I don't know. I don't know how much cash they got, but it was for some money.
I don't think they got that type of money. But Click is going to go out there and try to get that reliever. I know. Yeah. I don't think we need to count on Josh James this year. Pedro Baez. Who knows what's going on in Pedro Baez?
I want Jake Rogers. I want Rogers from the
Taylor Rogers. You mean?
I mean Taylor Rogers. Sorry, I want Taylor Rogers.
You and every other team in baseball. Taylor Rogers is pretty good, and I don't think the Twins are going to be selling. I think the Twins are.
I think they are going to be selling.
You think?
Well, yeah. Who do they have? Nelson Cruz. I mean,
Astros aren't going to be getting Nelson.
And Berrios? No, I mean.
They're not going to be trading Berrios.
I think they're selling. From what I've heard from the commentary today, it seems like the Twins might be in the market. The Astros may not, but hey, it's not a hard cap. Who knows? Maybe James Click can work some magic.
I don't think they can afford Nelson Cruz. And even then, I know that we have Alvarez playing left field, but I don't think we need 2 DHs. So speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about what Framber Valdez did today. He did what he always does. He just goes out there, and he didn't have his best stuff today, but he still pitched really good. He pitched 7 innings, allowed 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned. He did have 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. He allowed 1 home run. What else do you want from your emerging ace, your budding ace, whatever you want to call him?
He is the ace of this ball club. I mean, let's just call it what it is. When he's on the mound, he wins, period, end of story. He just simply wins. And there's not another pitcher on our staff. Sorry to all the other guys because they're great competitors. I can't, in my mind, feel comfortable with going, okay, we got this one in the bag because so-and-so's on the mound. Framber Valdez fills that blank for me perfectly. Remember, I said if there's anybody that should be the opening day starter, it should be Framber Valdez based on 2020. We all knew that wasn't going to happen. We all knew that if it wasn't Greinke, it would have been McCullers. But and Greinke got the start because of the whole seniority thing. But next year, 2022, if we start on time and everything works out, Valdez may very well be the opening day starter for the Houston Astros.
Yeah. So I guess we need to talk about what's the big news over the weekend is the fact that the Astros, after all this, is Dusty Baker going to go with six-man rotation? Is he not? He is going to go with the six-man rotation at least for the next 20 days because there is an off day on Monday, and then the Astros are going to go through a 20-day stretch where they're not going to have an off day. So what the Astros are going to do to possibly save some innings for October or down the road, they're going to go ahead and go with a six-man rotation, and Jake Odorizzi is going to piggyback Lance McCullers. That's right. Lance McCullers is back on Tuesday, and he's going to start on Tuesday versus the Rangers at Minute Maid Park, and Jake Odorizzi is going to pitch after him. So what does that mean? You could see Lance McCullers come in. I don't know how deep, how
innings. I think this, I've heard four innings. That's what the stated plan is from Baker. And I believe Mark Berman reported that. Mark Berman or someone I saw, they're planning on McCullers going four innings and then Odorizzi going four if needed, then you would bring in Presley if he's needed. From what I understand, that is, yeah. I don't know that's 100% definitive, but that's what the understanding is from the Houston media.
I think it doesn't matter. I mean, I think that if he's pitching good, just keep him in for the fifth inning. I think that Odorizzi says everything arm-wise, everything's great. Working on the execution part of it, it keeps on getting closer and closer. Boston was a good step. That's what it's all about. I just need to keep on getting innings. I'm not too worried about my slow start. It was kind of expected. And so he's taking this as stride. It's not like he's missing. He's being taken out of the rotation. This was when he was supposed to start. And so they're going to just put McCullers in that spot. And then they're going to have him start, I believe, on the 21st or something when he's supposed to. He's going to start against the Orioles on the 21st.
Yeah, I like that they're going to the six-man rotation. And apparently, if that's what they're doing, they have talked to Greinke about it. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, Greinke's a team player. And when you have 20 games in 20 days, I mean, you've got to be flexible. I mean, I get it. You're the elder statesman, but you've got to do what's going to help the team be successful and win. And I think that, here's the key point I want to make about the Twins. Not that it was another series win, but it was a series win against a crappy team.
Oh, the Astros are a game above 500 versus below 500 teams.
That's what I'm saying.
Celebration.
Woohoo! Oh, I didn't know what you were about to do. I thought you were about to, like, they're streaking like on old school. We're streaking. Okay. Good thing, because this is a PG show. Anyways, but yeah, so someone asked about Peter Solomon. Does Peter Solomon get called up this month? I don't know that Peter Solomon gets called up this month. When I interviewed him, I asked him what his big goal this year was, and he said, I know it's lofty. You have to go and listen to it. But he said, my goal is to help the Astros get back to the World Series and win a World Series. And however that means in the bullpen or starting, I would love to do my part. And so he's got big goals. He's got his mind set on bigger, better things. And so Peter Solomon may be one of those guys who gets called up. He's been called up twice. He was on the taxi squad to begin the season. He's only pitched a couple innings, but he is definitely a possibility if they need. And who knows, with these 20 games, you may see one of those guys come up and help the Astros out if they need it.
Well, because technically they have six starters now, so that's one less arm in the bullpen. So you may get to a point where you need that fresh arm. So you may see somebody like Brandon Belak go down, or somebody like Ralph Garza. Ralph Garza had a appearance today, and he pitched two innings. Yes, he gave up one run. It was some may call it garbage time, but he still made an appearance. The Astros had a pretty big run margin there, but I'm sure Garza is going to be going down once McCullers comes up because he's probably the last man up. So he'll probably be the first man to go down. But Nivaldo Rodriguez looked okay the other day. He was kind of wild.
He's a guy, honestly, he's a guy that I would bring up. Like, I would bring up someone like a Solomon. I would bring up Kit Sheets over.
He's not on 40-man roster. There's not really any. Well,
That's true. That's true. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's true. When you get the 40-man roster thing, it gets tricky. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah.
So you just got to, it's kind of like when you're trying to pick out the right Built Bar, you got to just make sure, oh, which one do I have actually in my, my pantry? So talk a little bit about Built Bar.
So Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the business. Why? Because A, it's wrapped in 100% chocolate. B, it's healthy for you. And C, would I lie to you, the listener? Would I tell you a tall tale? No, I wouldn't. Eric's shaking his head. Yes, he doesn't know that. But actually, he does. See, here's the thing. Built Bar is so amazing that you try to think this has got to be a dream when you're consuming it, because there's no way this is real. It's make-believe. It's not, folks. It is real. They've got coconut. They've got cherry. They've got raspberry, mint brownie. I mean, chocolate chip cookie dough. Right now, I've got a whole box of birthday cake above my fridge. Oh my God, the white chocolate birthday cake is to die for. And what's great is most of them have 17 to 19 grams of protein, about 130 to 170 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. So if you're on the keto diet, if you're the guy or girl trying to lose or maintain weight, Built Bar is the best thing to do. I eat one or two a day for sure, without a doubt, because I love them. I don't just give you this crap because they're our sponsor. I'm telling you, this is the real deal, Holyfield right here. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. My neighbors behind me, they're going to order some Built Bars tonight. They already talked about it. And so go grab Built Bar before they're gone. Builtbar.com, the best bar in the biz.
All right. I wonder who betonline.ag would bet that the Astros would go after at the trade deadline.
Well, that's true. You know, and if you want to bet on things like that, they're the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports teams. Baseball season, we know, is in full swing, and the Astros are kicking everybody's tail, it seems like. And you can track all the action on BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info on your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and UFC or MMA. Before the next pitch, the Astros game on Tuesday, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as it is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs for the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON.
Jeremiah, it's going okay. Everything's great right now. The Astros are winning, and all you can ask for is for the Astros just keep on winning series. I know that Johnny said he wishes that they can win series, but unfortunately, you're going to face a team like a pitcher like Jose Berrios, who's actually a really good pitcher. I know he's not been great this season, but he's still one of the best pitchers in the game, and you're going to face a guy like that every once in a while. So, let's talk a little bit about that middle game. And it was one of those frustrating games where it just seemed like the Astros can only score with a home run, and they couldn't get past second base. I know that sounds like a bad dating joke or whatever, but they couldn't get past second base except for the home run. Yeah, they couldn't score without a home run. But it was just one of those games, and it was just ugly. And it was just – like Tucker had the home run, I think, and then Robel Garcia. Oh, back home runs. Other than that, it was nothing. It was like scoring.
You know why? Because your 1-5 hitter didn't get a single hit. And so when your 1-5 hitter don't get a hit, and the only guys that get hits are your 6, 7, 8 hitter, and everybody else is 0-4, and you only have 5 hits, you're not going to score a lot of runs. The Twins only had 8 hits. I mean, they only scored 5 runs. And so, here's the thing. It wasn't a beatdown. It's going to happen. Yes, I would like to sweep a series, but you know, in the grand scheme of things, 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, why not? Like that is winning baseball. And you don't want to go on too big of a like winning streak, because then the odds are against you. It's nice to sprinkle in a loss here or there. You're going to struggle. Garcia did get the loss, unfortunately. He had basically won his previous 5 starts, but you know what? It's not a bad thing that he gets a loss there. He struggled a little bit. That'll force him to look at himself more, because his velocity, we've got to keep track of this, has been going down every game. His velocity has not been there. And so he was getting hit around a little bit still. I mean, didn't give up double digit hits as a team as a whole. And so he didn't do that bad, but that is something to keep our eye on over this 20 game stretch, Eric, is his velocity. Will it continue to decline, or will maybe a day off and maybe the 6-man rotation be what he needs to keep going strong?
Yes, and Luis Garcia was looking to be the first rookie pitcher to go 5-0 in a certain amount of games since Colin McHugh did it in 2013, I want to say it was. I remember hearing that on Sports Talk 790 on my way to get Wingstop the other day, and I'm like, oh, I know this answer. I know this answer. I remember when he was on a 5-0 streak. But, yeah, he's going to lose some games every once in a while, and of all the times where he got all this run support, it just didn't happen that game. But unfortunately, the A's somehow keep on winning.
And they're playing crappy teams. That's why they keep winning. They're about to play good teams, Eric.
I know the Royals were supposed to be a good team this year. What happened? They're winning, and now all of a sudden the Royals are losing, and the Orioles were winning, and now they're losing again. It's just like teams that were supposed to be that were good earlier in the year. It's just like can't trust anybody. And by the way, not trusting anybody, Yordan Alvarez is the first Astro to steal base and hit a home run this year. What?
You mean in the same game?
In the same game, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I didn't actually see it because I was actually at a lunch today. But they said that he had this big old smile on his face, like, you see, I'm okay. I'm playing left field. I'm legging out infield hits. I'm stealing bases. You can trust me, coach. I can do it. So,
no, I think Yordan's fine. I think everybody. I mean, just look at the guy when he's at the plate. He's menacing. He's strong. He's taking care of his body. He's a smart young athlete. He knows he's got a lot of value, and he hasn't even, you know, come out of his rookie contract years. So he's still got a big payday coming. So just know that he's got to mentally be prepared for that and physically be prepared for that. He can't be damaged goods when he gets to that point to sign that large contract. So the Astros definitely aren't going to put him in any dangerous situations where they feel like they're going to hurt him. So I think seeing where he's at, the Astros and the doctors and trainers must feel completely 100% fine. And I think we should be fine with, you know, wherever he plays. He deserves to play. I mean, the thing is, bottom line is he wants to be out there too. You can't hold him back too long.
The biggest thing about Saturday's game was the top five hitters in Astros lineup were 0-16 with two walks. Altuve was 0-4. Brantley was 0-2 with two walks. Bregman was 0-4. And Alvarez was 0-3. And Gurriel was 0-3. And I know most of the times those guys are going to carry your lineup, but that's why the Astros lost Saturday's game. And I know you took 2 out of 3 versus the Twins, but I just wish, like Johnny said earlier, especially against these low-life Twins. And I hate saying that because I feel bad for Twins because they haven't won a playoff game since, what, Kirby Puckett? No, I'm not going to say that.
Wow. Oh, hey, no, listen to this. I heard this. I didn't know this. I heard it a long time ago and completely forgot about it. Did you know that there was a guy that controlled the AC ventilation, like the AC flow in the what did they call it? What was the Twins stadium called? It was like the Metrodome. Anyways,
Metrodome. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the Metrodome, they created a wind current that pushed the ball to the outfield, and Kirby Puckett's apparently game-winning home run or something when he's in the World Series was quote-unquote aided by the air conditioning vents that were blowing out, and they said it was windy inside the stadium. And someone's like, don't talk to me about cheating. You're Twins. And they were like bringing up all this old stuff about Kirby Puckett and the air conditioner vents. And I'm like, wow. So we didn't invent cheating, you jerks.
Yeah. Chaz McCormick has 6 home runs, 20 RBIs, and 80 at-bats.
That's amazing.
I mean, you can't make that up.
He's a modern-day Mark McGwire.
Disney would be like, yeah, nobody would believe that movie. We're not going to make that movie. I mean, this guy is just like, it's amazing what he did. And he hit a 420-foot home run to straightaway center. It's just crazy how good, just amazing. Just imagine if this guy could play every day. But the problem is, Straw is actually doing pretty good recently. In his last 28 games, he's getting on base at a 364 clip. I have his stats somewhere here, but he's actually been doing a lot better recently.
Yeah.
And his batting average is up to what now? His OPS is up to 637. That ain't sexy at all. I'm not going to say that, but his batting average, if we want to look at something positive,
you just said the word sexy.
256, yeah. But he's another multi-hit game. I
want him batting 250 or higher. Hey, yeah. That's where I need him right now. I need him because he gets on base. If he gets a walk, I mean, he's on base twice. He has a potential to score, you know? I mean, yes, has he had some flubs in the outfield? Has he misplayed some balls and almost run into other players? Yeah, but you know what? Those things are going to happen. Give this guy a chance to – dude, he's doing fine. I mean, I'm sorry. The Blue Jays haven't had Springer all year either. So, I mean, Springer hasn't been effective in anybody's lineup. And, okay, Springer's gone. Sorry. We've moved on, man. We're going to win this thing. Eric, I've got so much confidence in this team right now. I mean, I would run through a flaming brick wall for this team. I would do anything because they just continue to keep finding ways to win. And when the smaller names, when the guys that aren't the headline players are contributing, like, who cares who the competition is? Bring it on.
Yeah, and I don't know how much impact Stubbs is going to be able to make. I know that he had that good hit. He had a drag bunt today, if I remember correctly. He had the two hits. This guy has some speed, but I don't know how much opportunity he's going to get because Jason Castro and Martin Maldonado are signed for at least one more year, maybe one more. I think it's just one more year for both of them. But, yeah. This guy was supposed to be the catcher of the future. A lot of people don't have a lot of faith in him. But, yeah, he's showing some potential now that he's getting some playing time. Jason Castro is playing in Sugar Land right now. He should be back maybe sometime this week. If not against the Rangers, he'll be back. I know that Mark Berman showed him throwing out a runner at trying to steal earlier. So, any final thoughts, Brett, before we move on? We'll do a preview of the Ranger series next or tomorrow.
Yeah, just I think it's a great series win. Looking forward to beating up on the Arlington Strangers or the South Oklahoma Rangers when they come to town, and we show them how we played varsity baseball here in Texas. I hate the Rangers. I'm sorry.
I know you do. All right, so we'll get to see what the six-man rotation is all about pretty soon. We'll see the piggyback, and we'll see how Jake Odorizzi does coming out of the bullpen. I don't think that this is a guy that's done this much, but maybe he's done it in the minor league, so we'll see how this works. But I'm excited to – we have a homestand. We get to play the Rangers, then the White Sox. White Sox are a good team. This is a team that we'll possibly face in the playoffs. So this is going to be a good week for the Houston Astros. That probably the only good team we're going to be facing over the next 20 games, if my math is correct. So we'll talk about this and more on future Locked On Astros podcasts. Make sure you go and subscribe to us on YouTube and keep our numbers going. And don't forget, today on the Locked On Today podcast, does a college football playoff expansion hurt Notre Dame? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And we'll be back tomorrow with the Locked On Astros podcast.